I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network. Well, I've still got a cold.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Very sad.
I am sad.
Well, don't be, because I just realized that this is our last episode of 2018.
Oh, wow. Already?
Oh, man.
So this is also our anniversary episode, too.
Oh, my God. Man, welcome to the party.
Wow.
Yeah, congratulations.
I mean, you saved the best for last, so kudos to you.
We absolutely did. Well, happy 4-year anniversary of the show, Logan.
Yeah, happy 4-year anniversary.
Dang, that's insane.
Happy anniversary, you guys. That's exciting. Right?
We're
congrats.
Just excited that you get to be here for this special occasion to celebrate with us.
I had this plan the whole time.
Just waiting patiently.
Yeah.
This moment. Yeah. Well, that is great. Well, I guess without further ado, we'll let you introduce yourself for our listeners.
Okay, great. My name is Natalie Williams, soon to be Natalie Hawkins in 6 months, actually. Yeah, getting married in June. So that'll be interesting. waited a long time for this moment, so it'll be fun getting that all done and getting married and stuff. But I am currently in my 4th year at Iowa State University. I have a little bit of a different perspective on the higher ed community. I actually work in the athletic department on our campus, and I am an academic coordinator for student athletes. So my population that I'm working with every day are student athletes at Iowa State University, and I'm specifically responsible for the academic support and coordination for the men's basketball team and the women's softball teams at Iowa State. And so a lot of people ask me kind of like, what does that mean? are you a tutor? Like, no, I'm not a tutor. That's not what I do. And so like student athletes have to meet certain standards academically and follow NCAA rules and our athletic conferences, the Big 12 conference. And so there's a lot of rules and policies that they have to adhere to remain eligible to compete in their sport, as well as keep their athletic scholarships. And so that's kind of my main role in my position, is I'm just monitoring all of the academic side of the two teams that I'm responsible for. And a lot of the coordination and the academic support is just, I do a lot of managing. I tell people all the time, I herd cats a lot. It's herding cats.
it is.
Student athletes are all over the place. Their life is kind of crazy. And I'm just kind of that constant presence for them every day, just making sure that, you know, the academic side of things are going well for them. They're being successful. They're on track to graduate. They're meeting their athletic eligibility rules every year. And then, you know, any kind of support that they need tutoring wise, any kind of academic support, all of that goes through me. And then I'm also kind of the liaison with main campus as well with athletics. So anything that goes on main campus, like athletic wise, everything has to go through our office instead of like coaches and administrators running all over campus trying to bug people and ask lots of questions. Everything kind of is filtered through our office. And I love it because it's kind of the both sides of higher education. It's the athletic world plus the academic side. And so it's a lot of fun.
That's really neat.
Awesome.
Completely honest with you, because I don't have a lot of experience, even though it's been almost a year working at a school with a large athletic division. Like, didn't even really know this job existed, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Super cool.
And it's an interesting job. I know the ones at Belmont that do the same thing, and it's definitely challenging sometimes, but from what I understand, rewarding in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's awesome. I just wrapped up I was with men's basketball on Wednesday because everyone else is gone for the semester. We ended on Friday, but men's basketball is still here because they're competing. And we went and did some community service on Wednesday. And then the team, our head coach, had like a big Christmas party at his house. And it's just a little family and they're so fun. Like, I see the guys every day. And so it's a very close kind of, you know, advising role, relationship. And so I'm seeing them every day. I'm talking to them every day. You know, just making sure that everything's going fine for them academically, because if it doesn't, as I said, there's very strong consequences. They could potentially lose scholarships, eligibility, and we just want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
How do you not accidentally kind of slip into, like, the only way I can describe it is like mom mode? Like, I feel like with the stakes kind of higher for these students, like,
yeah,
in terms of like what they do in the classroom, like obviously they're figuring out how to be independent and college students and also balancing it with athletics, like, but you're also kind of there to keep an eye. Like, how do you be like, hey buddy, maybe we go to class again today, like, without sounding like their mother?
Yeah, it's really funny because one of them told me this semester that I had a degree in nagging. And I was like, well, thank you. At least somebody cares about you. No, and it was all good fun. It's hard. You have to find, we say all the time in our field, like, it's a constant balance. Balancing, you know, like you just said, you know, making sure that they're getting things done and you're there to support them. But then also the 4 years that you do get them, like, the whole thing that we do is we want to get them prepared and ready for the real world. And so a very long leash is what I like to say, because I do have to communicate a lot of information to coaching staffs and administrators. So I do have to have kind of a pulse on how they're doing academically, if they're going to class, because we don't, you know, we want to make sure that if there anything is coming up, that we're handling it in a timely manner. And student athletes, as you know, like, everyone knows who they are on campus. And we tell our students all the time, like, you're walking around with Iowa State, like, softball, basketball on your sweatshirt. Like, people know who you are. Mm-hmm. You're under a microscope. And so you can't have a lot of mess ups, because it's probably going to be on the front page of the news the next day. Yeah. And that's just, you know, the expectations that come with being a student athlete. And so we just want to make sure that, you know, they're representing their team well, representing our school well, and, you know, doing things the right way.
Yeah, that's a whole thing that now being working at UNC, I haven't worked at a D1 school before. And that kind of, like, almost like celebrity status of students is so interesting to me. It's just, it's bizarre. Like, the way that, you know, people talk about these students as though they're these celebrities. And it's like, these are students on our campus. They're right there. Like,
you
can go find them and say hi.
I guess ours are different, but we're a different kind of D1 school, I guess.
Yeah, this is my third school doing this. So, as you know, people in higher ed and especially athletics, we move around a lot. And my first school is actually in the same conference as Belmont. And my best friend is the head volleyball coach at the first school I worked at Southeast Missouri State.
Oh, yeah.
And Iowa State is totally different than, like, what I experienced at Southeast. Mm-hmm. I really liked Southeast, though, because I feel like the programming and the services that we provided there were so impactful for the students. Not that they aren't at Iowa State, but it's just a different ballgame at this level. Competing at a higher intensity. Every one of my basketball guys that has graduated since I've been here are all playing professionally now. And so kind of like different paths in life as opposed to like my students at Southeast Missouri. Right.
Yeah, I literally had to go on the website to see which bird they were, because like everybody in the OVC is some kind of bird, like Southeast Missouri State or SEMO. We call them SEMO. You guys call them Southeast, I guess. You're the Red Hawks, and then there's the Golden Eagles, and then there's the other Eagles. There's another eagle in there, and then there's the Gamecocks, Eagles. And then they're all birds, and we're a bear.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Colonels, which literally they're like Kentucky Colonels, like Colonel Sanders, like their mascot is like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, with the mustache, like, and everything.
Murray State's like a horse, like a racer.
Yeah, they're a horse. They're the racers.
Yeah. That's really funny because I didn't realize there were that many birds in that conference.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed that when I was there.
Well, that's we have all the banners in the thing in our office. So not our office, in our arena. So the Gamecocks, that's Jacksonville State, and then Morehead State is the Eagles, and then Southeast Missouri is the Red Hawks, and then Tennessee Tech is the Golden Eagles, and then there is Tennessee Martin, and they're the Skyhawks. So
yes, that's right. I know. What's a Red Hawk?
It's a hawk that is not a Skyhawk. So they're a Red Hawk.
Like, I feel like then that implies that like a normal hawk like can't fly. It's like a penguin hawk. Like, like a Skyhawk can fly and a hawk cannot fly.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot of made up birds to make it work with the branding that they're trying to go for.
Right. And then it's like the challenge of like getting some sort of mascot costume that like somehow embodies whatever they decided they are.
Yeah. I guess people are just like, can't go wrong with a bird.
Right.
And that's a fun story. Like Iowa State, we are the Cyclones and our mascot is actually a bird. He's like a cardinal. Yep.
The Cyclone.
And his name is Cy. It's like C-Y. Cy
the bird.
Yep.
Interesting.
So I have to tell you, like, his Twitter is amazing. Yeah.
I'm sure his Twitter is probably bumping as a
the mascot's Twitter is pretty great. We're highly entertained all the time. Sigh the mascot, what he's got going on up here.
Is that an official school account or is that just some like amazing student that's rocking it on social?
I'm assuming it's like our sports media department that does
it. Says the official Twitter account, so.
Oh, it's legit.
Yeah. And the other really fun thing with Cy is around Halloween, like whatever our football game is around that time, everyone's always on pens and needles on what Cy is going to dress up as for Halloween.
That's amazing. What did he dress up as this year?
I think he was I feel like he was like in a bubble bath, like running around the sidelines in like a bubble bath and like a shower cap. Yeah.
That's incredible. Because really, you have to try. If you're going to dress up a mascot, you have to like get stuff in like triple XL. Like, it's not easy to dress up a mascot.
I know. He's really good. I'm very impressed with Cy the mascot up here. He does a good job. And I think he's a cardinal because that's our official color. We're nice. Cardinal and gold, so
nice.
That would make sense. But yeah,
so
that's the story of the Cyclones. There you go. Wow.
We learned something. We learned some history. I've never worked for a bird school before.
Oh wow!
Considering all the birds now that there are out there,
yeah. I've never been at a school that wasn't red. So,
So you own a lot of red.
I do. My undergrad was red, and all my three schools I've worked at professionally have all been red, which is, and I never noticed that until my mom made the statement like when I moved to Iowa State, every school you've been at's red. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Like the opposite. I've had every color. And so therefore every time I go to a new school, I have to get a whole new wardrobe because I don't have the color for the school.
Well, it's because the schools you go to have very distinct colors. Like Skidmore was very distinctly green
and yellow. And now I'm at, Carolina blue, which,
there is no other blue.
Don't they have their own, their own color there?
Do they have their own Pantone color?
It is, yes, there is, at least as far as I've been told, I'm sure you could look it up, but I've been told that the color is actually called Carolina blue, and that there's some small school, I want to say in Rhode Island, that actually their school colors are, I think, Carolina blue and white maybe, or something like that, but one of their colors is Carolina blue.
Even well, for those of you curious, Carolina blue is PMS, like, 542.
So, there you go.
There you go.
So there it is.
Perfect. Wow, I feel like the North Carolina colors are so classy and fancy. Like I always, whenever I see them, I'm like, they're so fancy.
I was told when I started working there that Carolina blue looks good on everyone. And so,
it doesn't.
That was harsh.
Wow.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. I think Belmont blue is better, but that's just me. But see, that's the thing with Belmont though, is that Belmont blue and Belmont red, it really is kind of, people wear both, about half and half. I'd say they wear probably blue a little bit more than the red, because the red is like really red, like bright red. Yeah, I don't know. All my stuff is, I have blue stuff. I have a red shirt. I wore it today, but it just felt a little bright. So
a little in your face.
A little in your face. Red.
Too much Belmont. You want to just go mild Belmont?
No, it's just too much red.
Mild Belmont.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of wardrobes, here's my segue. Speaking of wardrobe, how is packing going? I'm assuming you're traveling for the holidays. Do you like how I did that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I told you I'm leaving to head to Missouri as soon as this interview is over, and we're all packed up. We actually have engagement photos on Sunday, and so I have like 4 bags of clothes and shoes because I have no idea what we're going to wear.
Will you be wearing red?
Probably not. Probably going for like a winter white theme, so
nice,
we'll see.
Very nice.
And my goal for my fiance is just to have stuff that's not wrinkled.
I love that. Setting the bar at a reasonable level.
Yeah,
I think that's reasonable.
Realized that I think men don't iron. Like they and my favorite is I'm learning
I do it
that
every
they,
day, but
they
but,
also yeah. think that it, I just get confused by folks that think that putting a shirt in the dryer a second time is synonymous with ironing.
Sometimes
it's not.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes I do that. Like when it's just slightly wrinkled, like there's a couple of wrinkles, maybe on the back or something like that, because
that
of the way it was hung.
Work?
It does. It releases it just a little bit, and it and the fabric, but not as well as ironing. It is not a replacement for ironing, but if there's just like a couple of little wrinkles in it, that'll usually do. Now, if it's a dress shirt, that's a different story. But if it's like a, you know, a regular like button down Oxford shirt or something, it's usually fine. Or if it has a pattern, like a plaid pattern, that's usually okay. But if it's a solid color, it's the wrinkles are definitely more obvious. So yeah.
Oh, I've learned so many things.
But I do iron every day. So the thing that people say where they're like, you know, men don't iron, I totally iron.
Logan is the 1%.
There you go. I am a big fan of a steamer.
Yes.
The steamer to me is the way to go.
That's so much easier.
Yeah. And I feel like guys could do that easily.
Just, all you got to do is kind of squirt it at it. It's not that challenging.
Yeah, it just doesn't press it like,
true.
You know, an iron. So right. It depends
doesn't
on the
give
shirt.
You the,
it really depends
doesn't
on the
give
shirt.
The crispness that an iron gives you, for sure.
But much less work.
Yeah.
Is it?
Less work than ironing, I think. So you don't got to, you have to get like a ironing board out and then wait until it's hot and then like accidentally get the back wrinkled when you already did it and like that whole thing.
Ironing is stressful for me because I'm always worried I'm going to burn the
garment.
Yeah. Like it's too hot. I'm not supposed to iron this kind of fabric. I'm just really stressed out that I'm always going to burn holes in my clothes when I iron.
Oh, absolutely.
So the steamer is the way to go.
I always get scared when I'm ironing somewhere else because I have a very good understanding of my iron and its capabilities and what it does and how it heats up, right?
Very in tune with your iron.
I am very in tune with my iron. I've only ever burned one shirt in like years with I love my iron. I got it at Bed Bath & Beyond. It was great. but when I go to a hotel or something and their iron is not, you know, that great, that's when I get scared. That's when I get scared of the burning.
My trick when I'm traveling is to put it on a hanger and like turn the shower on really hot and let it steam it in the bathroom.
That's fair. I've always tried that and it's never worked. Maybe because I don't shower hot enough or something, but
yeah. Or you could just turn it on while you kind of hang out and relax.
Like, I'm just going to waste all this water real quick.
It's
for a good cause,
thing.
I swear. They should let you rent out steamers at hotels.
Yeah, that would
I'm
be
sure
a
there's
really good idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So once you get back from your vacation, like what are you tackling at work? What's on your desk?
So We're actually hiring for a new position in our office. So I'm kind of currently doing the position right now. And so I'm just kind of getting ready for that transition for the new person to come in. And then our semester starts on January 15th. And so we did eligibility and everything on Wednesday this week. And then when I come back in, I'll just start like double checking all of my students' schedules and making sure that, you know, fulfilling eligibility needs. And then both of my teams, the spring is actually really busy for me. It's my busiest semester because both of my teams are in their most competitive travel seasons. Mm-hmm. And so I travel with men's basketball. And so I'll be on the road January, February, and hopefully a long time in March, because that means that they're winning. and so things get crazy just trying to, you know, help them keep up with all their academics and stuff while they're traveling all over. And then my softball team, they were in Iowa. There's not a lot of softball going on in the winter months, if you can imagine. and so they miss 18 days of school in the spring semester. And like the beginning of February until after spring break, they literally leave every Thursday and come back on Sunday because they're going south to play and compete. And so I do travel letters and just kind of helping. That's what I'll do when I'll get back, is just try to get all of the travel letters and get everything organized and get up and running for the spring semester.
Wow.
So yeah.
When you're on the road with them, like what types of things are you responsible for when it comes to working with them?
I don't really like there's a lot, there's like legal NCAA violations and stuff. Like you don't really work with them on the road. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of a presence there. Like if they have a question or, I always love it when I get on the plane, the guys gruntle, you know, like, oh man, he's coming. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're still in school. Sorry.
You're the reminder.
Yeah. Like, and you know, like I just kind of like when they have some downtime, you know, I just kind of remind them, hey, you need to be working on this, or hey, you need to look at this. I think the great thing like about higher education today is just like there's so much online now. So even though my students are missing like a lot of class, like they're able to still keep up with stuff online. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we do on the road, just, you know, making sure that I'm kind of there in their ear, like, don't forget to do this. But there's not a lot of actual like tutoring, like work. I don't work with them one-on-one or anything like that. Just reminders. And if they need anything, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then when I go with softball, it's more of like, it's kind of their treat to me. They usually take me really fun places like Florida and the beach and stuff. And so when I travel with them, it's really fun because it's like fun places to go. Yeah, they're really fun. They always take me on like fun places. And it's kind of just, like I said, like a treat to me for just helping them and stuff. So that's what we do.
That's awesome.
That's super fun though. What a cool like mid-year break kind of, not a break as in like you're not doing anything, but like it changes up your routine a little bit.
Yeah, the spring is definitely, it flies by. The fall is, you know, the fall I'm very focused on just all my new students because, you know, as you all know, the transition that first year is huge. And so there's a lot of things, you know, like I said, herding cats earlier, just making sure that they're getting this whole student athlete life down and off to a good start in school and balancing athletics and academics. And so we do a lot of that in the fall. I spend a lot of time, I call them my baby cubs, my freshmen.
Oh,
yeah. Spend a lot of time with them, you know, and they're away from home for the first time too. And so, you know, mom and dad aren't getting them up every day. And,
right.
Just making sure, it sounds crazy, like you said earlier, kind of like a mom role, but the coaches are involved in this too, like making sure that they're going to weights and they're where they need to be and they're in class. And so that's what we focus a lot on in the fall. And then the spring is, like I said, it's season. And so I always say my softball, bless their hearts, like there's a lot of tears in the spring in the office just because they're very excelling students. And so they're missing so much class and they start to like kind of have meltdowns and freak outs a little bit. because, you know, they just feel like it's flying by and they're playing catch up all the time in school and stuff. And so we have to have a lot of breaks because the tears are flowing. Mm-hmm. I have a test tomorrow and I haven't been in class in like 2 weeks. I'm so scared. And, you know, just talking through that. Let's get you a tutor. Go see your teacher at office hours, you know, working a little bit extra to make sure that they've got all their P's and Q's in line.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find yourself working more with those first year students than with the seniors?
That's the plan. You hope by the time that they're seniors that they've got it figured out. And it's just kind of a check-in once a month. How's life? How's school? Mm-hmm. Senior year, there's a little bit different conversations too. Like, are you ready? Like, what's your next step? We actually have a student athlete affairs program in our athletic department. And that is all that they focus on for our student athletes is kind of the career side of things. Resume, putting them through mock interviews. Do you want to go to grad school? Like, here's what you need to do. We have somebody on our staff that manages all of that for us. And so between myself and our student athlete affairs coordinator, their senior year, it's a lot of just what's the next step? Mm-hmm. Because we don't want them to be in panic mode, like once graduation time comes. And for athletes too, it's kind of a very, I don't know what the word is. Senior year is kind of a difficult time for them because they've been an athlete their whole life. And so their life is about to be totally different. They're going out in the real world and they're not going to be, you know, Natalie, the softball player anymore. And so we do a lot of conversations and just prep for that too. Like, you know, what's life going to be looking like whenever you're not, you know, the basketball player or the softball player anymore. It's given you a lot of great opportunities, but that journey is coming to an end. And so there's a lot of things that go into getting them ready for that too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Especially you said your spring semester is busy. I didn't even think about the seniors that are graduating and trying to get ready.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like academic advisor, career counselor, probably pseudo therapist in there a little bit.
I'm not really a therapist. I'm a very good listener. Like I said, you need to come cry and you need to come vent. We'll shut the door and let it flow. That's fine.
Yep.
We have tough conversations too. Like, I hold them accountable too. Like if I think that they're not reaching their potential and they're mm-hmm. not doing things the right way, we have some tough conversations sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's life.
to have that resource, like, you know, these students are making friends, but not all of them, their friends understand like what they're going through mm-hmm. in the same way. And it's good for, especially as an older, wiser person, to kind of step in and say like, okay, here's something else to consider, or, you know, like, let's look at it this way, or here's another way we can tackle it. And mm-hmm. those types of things too.
I'm a former student athlete myself. So
really?
Yeah, and I'm almost like too tough on them, I think, sometimes, because when they're kind of, you know, defeated a little bit, they're tired, especially the fall semester, because they've never, you know, had to get up and do weights at 6 a.m. and then go to class and then do study hall and tutors, and then you're competing at a level you've never competed in your life before, mm-hmm. like working out and stuff, and so they're exhausted. And so when they want to come in and talk about how hard life is, I know I did it. I feel you. I was there.
Mm-hmm. What did you play?
I played volleyball.
Very cool. So,
yeah. I was a volleyballer. But yeah, it's, you know, and I think that just me being able to relate to them, like what they're going through, it was a long time ago. I'm old now, but it's still kind of the same deal.
Yeah. You have to go through the same things and you're not old.
Well, I think that's a good way to end the show this week.
I know. We could talk forever, though. So this is a nice way of thinking about the future with our students.
Yeah.
In terms of going to 2019. Well, we hope you have a really, really fun and not super stressful spring season.
Oh, it'll be
those are the best kind.
It'll be so fun. The spring's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Buckle
up. I'm so excited for you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well,
good luck. So excited to hear about all the future things. And we're so happy that you could join us this week. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a great holiday. Enjoy the downtime, and I hope you all have a wonderful spring semester as well.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. And listeners, happy new year in advance and happy holidays. You can head over to our website, higher-ed.social, to get links to all the great stuff we talked about today. And of course, you can subscribe to the show pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like our show, please like us, subscribe to the show, and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show and lets us know if you like it or not. And of course, follow us on Twitter. We are at HES Podcast, and you can send us a tweet. We love chatting with you. And of course, if you want to be on the show, you can let us know on Twitter. Higher Ed Social is produced by Emma Hawes, and our social media is run by Mariah Barksdale. We're also part of the Connect EDU network. You can visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe for some amazing shows no matter where you work on campus. Have a great week and Happy New Year!